Okay, so the analogy this morning, as Amy and I are sitting here with our awakenings, morning awakenings, is we were seeing the picture of people really, you know, picture this. If you have something that you really enjoy doing, there's many different reasons why you think you should do it according to the conditioning in your soul. In other words, social media bombards us, hits us at all angles of how to and how to make lots of money and marketing and all of that.
Yeah.
And yet we don't really oftentimes look at the core of what it is that we enjoy doing without having all these conditions calling to us. And so it's really what we've come to realize is it's not our responsibility. It's none of our business who watches or who listens to what we have to say. And when you adopt that, really that belief system, then it's like floating down a river. Picture the river. This is what I was shown this morning. And we have different things surrounding this, different analogies, but this is just one I was seeing very clearly is, picture yourself rafting in a river, and the river is the Spirit. The river is Jesus. It's love. And you're floating down that river of life. And you make different pit stops, if you will, along the river. Say it's a long rafting trip and you're enjoying it, hopefully. You're enjoying it, you're rafting, and then you pull off to the side to go to the bathroom, or you pull off to the side to have
lunch.
A picnic, and you stop there for a minute, and then you begin to watch something. Maybe it's on your phone or a screen or a TV, and you're watching something at that campsite. And then what happens? You enjoy it. You take it in. You learn something, hopefully, and then you float down to the next spot, and then the next spot, and the next spot. So picture what you have to give and what you have to offer is like that camp spot for people floating down the river of life. They're there to absorb and then to move past. It's not your responsibility or my responsibility. Who comes, first of all? Who comes and floats by that campsite? Who stops? Who partakes? And who absorbs? And then sit there and wonder, okay, did they like it? Did they watch it long enough? Oh man, I hope they got that point at the 15-minute mark in the video. Oh man, you know, what am I going to do? There's nobody else coming. Oh no, it's been an hour. Nobody has clicked on my video. They're not liking it. They're not hitting the subscribe button.
So maybe I need to adjust it. Maybe I need to tone this down. Maybe I need to bring this up. And so
you just don't do that, you know?
Disconfiguring yourself.
And if we do, it simply means that we've been conditioned through fear in a belief system that says that we must do those things.
So then your want starts repelling people, because then you're starting to chase after something and instead of allowing them to come and allowing the ones God brings that are ripe. If you're chasing after everyone, then you're chasing after people that aren't ripe to receive your message or whatever you're offering. You know, you may hit one here or there, but here's the reality, right? Is if they're not coming to you and they're not drawn to then they're not ripe. They're not ready.
That's
or it's
right.
Not timing. This is where we trust divine orchestration of God bringing people across your path. And your responsibility is to create and get it out there, to put your roots down and bloom. You know, and the Lord's like always showed me, you know, flowers never chase people down. They just stay rooted in who they are, in their certain seed type, and they bloom. They keep their eyes on the sun, S-O-N, and they just release their fragrance. And it draws those who want to see their specific kind. You're your own tourist spot, you know. And you think of Bouchard Gardens, you think of, you know, even the Portland Rose Gardens, or just anything. Tulip festivals, all these different things, they're all authentic and unique. They're not trying to be something other than they are. And people come from miles. Or like a good restaurant that's true to itself. And And maybe they only have 5 things on their menu, but they're world renowned and people will fly in, drive another 2 hours just to go to that place. How amazing is that?
The cowboy tree.
Yeah, or that in Oregon. The shack deal or just any of those. And they didn't cater and change and try to be all things to all men in that way. Right? It's like I was telling John earlier, it's like, you know, I see these restaurants that are the American / sushi / Thai, and they're trying to hit a broader audience, right? But to me, I get a check inside like, well, they're not being authentic then. Like, and maybe sometimes you've got, you know, a couple that's married, you know, where they're one's Japanese, one's Thai, and they're living in America, so then they combine it all at their restaurant. But you still feel like, it's like, no, I want to go have an authentic Thai experience or authentic Japanese experience. It's like John and I even comment, like, some of these places, they'll play American music, and it's like you're wanting to go in there and you want to hear music from their own land, because you're not just eating the food, you're having an experience.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's like we could listen to our American music all day long. We're stepping into a different culture because we want to experience that. And so it's so important that we are staying true to our authentic self in a good way, not in a rude way, right? We're not talking about, well, this is just who I am, so deal with it. That's attitude, learned behaviors that you haven't looked at, right? But we're talking about your gifts and what you have grace on versus stepping out of that because some marketing guru told you you needed to do it this way. And so then you silence the inner voice telling you to go another direction and you try to do it the mainstream way. And it's not working, is it?
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think we've, and I'll say this generally, I think we've lost the way of authenticity to, in the name of social media, driving this machine, right, saying that you have to do it this way, you need to do it my way. And so everybody's how-tos, they attach a money program to it, and they, and not everybody, but, you know, a large majority attach a money machine program to it. And so they're like, you do it our way, pay $1,000 and you can do this. And what happens is we get drawn in and then we're putting out all of these resources. And then what happens to the authenticity that does it just for the sake of love? And I guarantee when that happens, people recognize it, that are looking for authenticity, and then they'll want to give freely, you know? Right. It's like this. I was seeing a picture while Amy was sharing the floating down the river analogy again. He's the river, and so when he brings somebody by, God is the river. When he brings somebody by, then it's his flow, it's his energy, it's his power, God's power, to bring them by, first of all, because they're letting go down the river of life. Now, if they're not letting go, they're going to cling to a rock upriver and start drowning, and then God, you know, helps rescue them there. But it's not our job to sit there and say, man, I hope somebody comes by my campsite. I want them to see it. I want them to experience it.
And why do I want you them want to
pay?
To?
I want them to pay for the overnight fee here. I want them to partake and pay for the food I have to offer instead of doing this. Making your spot along the river so beautiful for you first, saying, and that's not selfish. There is a selfishness that is healthy. You know, we take care of our body, right? We're supposed to take care of our body.
Self-care.
It's self-care that's not selfishness.
Think of it in energy terms.
And so the camp spot, when you're planting your garden, you're planting the beautiful flowers, you're planting your fruit trees, you're mowing the lawn, you put a bathroom outside, you're putting a picnic space or whatever, you're doing that according to what you see inside of yourself to bring an expression out to make it beautiful. Like you could sit there and go, oh man, this is such a beautiful creation that you gave me insight and foresight for, God, and I just want to express this from the inside out. And then you're content with it. Guess what's going to happen? When you make the most awesome tasting taco and you're going, wow, look at this masterpiece. There is a vibration and a frequency that begins to emanate out from that. It's all energy anyway. Begins to call out to other people. I guarantee it. It'll call out. And that person floating down the river will look. Their attention will be brought over because it's captured by the energetic pole. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go, whoa, we have to stop there. So you didn't put out a sign that says, listen, for $19.95, if you just pay $19.95, you can have an entrance fee into this beautiful space. No, you just made it shine with the beautiful intricacies of who you are, the artistry of who you are. And then that automatically sends out a fishing net, so to speak, in the spirit and begins to draw people over towards your spot.
This is called spiritual intelligence, you guys. When you do something that is in your spirit, God's guiding you all the time of what the best fit is for you if you'll tap into it. And then all your angels, we forget the unseen is in operation all the time, assisting. Angels are going out, bringing the customers in, turning their heads, you know, to look and be drawn towards your place or whatever you're doing. Spiritual intelligence. This is why we don't need to go to these outside sources or what another person's preference or opinion is of how they're doing it. You've got the cutting edge, hot thing, now thing for you right now inside you to step out in. And so, you know, when John was talking about the energy drawing people, we had a taste of this in Maui. One of the years when we were there, we did this Maui Frozanas. We've mentioned it before for a fun business. We wanted to try it. It was one of our ideas. It's chocolate covered frozen bananas, you know, with the coconut. We did the whole Supreme Works on this thing, right? With some Hawaiian sea salt, all kinds of yummy stuff. Anyway, so, but we made our spot really nice. Like, and God gave us the design plans of how to put it together. We just sketched down what we were seeing inside of us. We went to Home Depot, we found the items, and we built this thing, right? The layout. So this guy, this wealthy guy comes walking up, puts his hands on the counter and says, whatever it is you guys are selling, I want it.
Yeah, and he didn't even know what it was. He was just drawn energetically.
Yeah, he was drawn energetically. He was drawn to the booth. He was drawn to the design. He was drawn to the energy just of what we were offering. And then...
Why were we building it? Were we building it to say, oh, I'm going to make a lot of money if I build it this certain way? No, we were happy and joyful just to create. That's the joy, guys. Don't miss that. It's the joy of creating. It's not, if you stay in that zone, if you stay in that pocket without allowing conditioning to come in and say, you got to do this for money, hurry up and make it perfect for money.
Right, right.
That's conditioning.
And we'll tell you guys, we had our, you know, our mindset was still being chipped away big time. Like the day before we did it, we got hit so hard mentally, like we were ready to just forget it, exit off. We had crazy thoughts. We're like, what are we doing? This is nuts. But we overcame, pushed through that. And the next day, it felt so amazing to actually put it together and do it and show up right into the unknown at the festival area there where we were doing it, the place there in Maui. So anyway... So the guy shows up, right? And he says, whatever it is you guys are selling, I want it. Boom. So then we have another couple ladies show up that are known all over the area there. She is...
One of them was a doctor.
Yeah, she's the magnesium doctor that's known. Dr. Carolyn... she's written tons of books. She's known all over the place. She comes walking up. She says, oh, I want to try one of these. These are amazing. So her and her friend... They start going around telling everybody, like they're standing at our booth saying, guys, hey, you should try this. So boom, there we go. They're marketing for us.
Yeah,
they're
they went to all the booths. Telling everybody.
Then they go to the front office telling them, you got to try this new booth over here with their, just because they loved it. But yeah.
Yeah, and she had a big podcast and everything. And so it's, you never know energetically yeah. what's going to be pulled, drawn to you by the Spirit. And your job, if you will, is no concern of that. It's detaching from the outcome of the draw.
Yeah.
We don't attach that to it. And see, this is where a lot of people make these huge, costly mistakes, is they're counting numbers, they're counting customers, they're counting demographic, they're looking at the whole analysis of doing a cost analysis, doing a, you know, and it's okay to do a cost analysis to a degree, but when we put all our faith and energy into that, you know, even a survey kind of thing, that's okay.
You switch into your ego.
But why are we doing that? That's the question. Why are we doing analysis? Why are we doing surveys? Why are we doing these polls? I think it's because we really don't believe in our own authenticity. And we're trusting programs. Here's another one. Here's just reminded of this. In sales, okay, we could do a whole series on this, I'm telling mm-hmm. you. The thing about sales is it's so archaic in this way. We do sales a lot to we want to do these competitive analysis. We go to our competitors, and like property management, we've been doing this thing for years. We go to these properties, and then we start asking them what their benefits are, what their features are, what their costs are, and then we compare all of us to the surrounding market, and then we want to base our own uniqueness, our own authenticity on the competitors' analysis. It doesn't work, you guys. It doesn't work, because then if we start losing our own authenticity, then we're dependent upon what everybody else is doing, and we want to compare apples to apples instead of saying, wait a minute, we're the whole tree here.
Right.
And then what happens is then we can't, see, the salespeople have to do this 4-step process of what the company and what's, quote, proven to work. And it does to a degree if you follow the program. But then the salesperson loses who they are as a gift to the prospect.
Yeah, there's no room for heart. There's no room for heart.
It loses it to a program.
Being creative in their own of how they like to, you know, send out letters and talk to the people on the phone and do these different things. And here's the thing, too, is like what these old marketing systems have to wake up to is the curtain has been drawn, just like on The Wizard of Oz. It's like you're seeing who's behind the curtain making all the noise, right? And what I mean by that is the curtain has been drawn, it's been ripped, and people are clued in more than ever now to energy. So you can be just a yapping dog and saying all the right things, all the marketing tips, all those different things, but your energy is so off and so out of alignment with what they're looking for, it just won't work, you know? And it's it comes to us recognizing, and it's companies and just anything, that we're all uniquely rare. And we have our unique piece and who we are for a reason. And so, you know, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, the paddles up analogy, it's so important with this, because when we talk about paddles up, you're going to hear us mention this a lot, is our paddles are like our hands. So when we say paddles up, we're talking about our hands here, putting our hands to something, forcing, trying to make it happen. And when we put our paddles, our hands and our arms up in the air, what we're saying is, I'm going to drop into heart-centeredness. It's no longer, I'm letting go, I'm releasing, I'm surrendering. It's the white flag kind of thing, to not give up because what's the point in doing it anymore? No, what we're giving up our intellect and our head knowledge and our head strength.
Dropping into the heart.
To say, I am ready to drop 18 inches down and live out of this flow. Because remember what he said. Jesus said, out of the belly, out of the innermost being, which is your heart-centeredness. That's really he's talking about. Out of the heart flow rivers of effortlessness, rivers of life. And it's many tributaries, it's many rivers. You could look at this several different ways. But what I get out of it is many different, unique, authentic expressions of who we are in spirit to the earth suit, to the earth realm. And when that starts coming out of us, the life more abundantly, individually and uniquely, guess what we form? An ocean of goodness that we can partake from in different varieties. You know, you don't see the same fish in an ocean. There's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of different types of fish.
Right, and the more rare, the more high value it is, you know?
Exactly. So
there is no comparison if you're rare. Like with all these companies comparing to their competitors. Well, if you're so rare, you have no competition.
That's just it. And what are people looking for today in this economy? What are they looking for today in this awakening state that the world is awakening into, this whole 5D realm, 4D, you know, coming into the 4D saying, listen, 3D isn't cutting it anymore. I can't put my hands to stuff like I used to. It's not working. Why? Because ascension is already happening and it's moving us down the river, so to speak.
Yeah, the whole earth is ascending.
Yeah, into this 4D reality of the in between the 3 and the 5. The 5 is just pure spirit.
And receiving. You receiving don't have to chase mode. After
anything. Yeah, when you jump into a river, we used to go rafting a lot when I was a kid. And our only job was to just jump into that river on a flotation device. Maybe sometimes we didn't even do that. We body surfed down it, but body rafted. But that's the point, is your only job is jump in the river. And what is that? Paddles up. You drop into it. You drop into this heart-centered vortex of just power that's not our own egoic attempts. It's not our own egoic drive. It's no longer the 3D world of, I got to get it done to make money. I've got to get it done to pay the bills. I have to do this. No one else is taking... Well, in essence, what we're saying, our ego is lying to us, saying, no one else is going to take care of me. I got to get it done. If I don't work, I don't eat. Analogy. And it's not even what that means, but somehow our survival mode makes us believe that if we don't work, we don't eat.
Yeah.
Try telling your child that. You're a good parent. Listen, if you don't work for me, little Johnny or Susie, you're not going to eat anything. Well, that's not a very good parent, you know. I remember my dad telling me growing up, listen, you can come eat out of this refrigerator anytime you want. I don't care if you're 80 years old. This refrigerator is yours.
Yeah, where my dad said you have to ask to get in the fridge and ask for everything in there. Like, we were not allowed to get into the fridge. And we got in trouble if we opened that thing up and didn't ask. It was crazy.
Yeah. And so what's the difference? Although there was survival mentality in my family line for sure. It's survival mode. It's fear. It's fear that says, well, if you do, then I won't have enough. I've got to pay for that. I've got to go out and work hard for that food. And so it's all driven by fear. What's available to us is unlimited, unconditional supply. It's unlimited, 24/7. It's just now we're awakening to how this whole thing works, right? I'm just saying we as a global society, as humanity are saying, okay, now we're getting some real keys here. If you stay in your box, see, Amy and I, if we just stayed in our religious box, we wouldn't learn 3/4 of the stuff that we're learning by others that have already gone there before us that are very much God lovers, very much, you know, in spirit and all of that. They just don't belong to a box called religion.
Yeah.
If we stayed in that box, we would be so in survival mode. It's not even because religion breeds survivalism.
Yes, it's a fear-based.
It really is. It's fear. You do this or else. It's right versus wrong, reward versus punishment. And when you break out of that box and God leads you out, then you see things from a higher perspective. And then guess what? You love people more. You begin to see the condition of humanity and say, whoa, where have I been so conditioned to believe that it was this one little itty bitty way of doing things? You know, you must do this to get. If you don't sow something just right, then you won't reap your thousandfold return just right. These formulas, you know. And although there's ways to do things, it's more of an understanding of the bigness of the flow and your own uniqueness that draws it out. You know, it's like we often talk about the analogy of Akiyana, the artist. She started out thinking, you know what? I have this beautiful desire to bring something out on paper. So she starts drawing at a young age, and then it turns into paintings. She had
these encounters of heaven.
Yeah. So she was enjoying it. It was for the enjoyment of the creative flow. It wasn't, how can I get $1 million when she was 6 years old? And so this is what Jesus was talking about. Be like a child. Go back to the innocence of the creative flow. And when that happens, then all of a sudden people are drawn through the energetic pull.
And it's within all of us is this divine spiritual technology, spiritual insight. It's just, you know, it's all within you. The Lord was just reminding me of this last night, just like the whole tree and everything is in the seed, right? Well, you're that seed in the earth, and everything is within you to unfold, to manifest. All the spiritual intelligence is right there. All you got to do is just still yourself and listen and feel. Listen and feel. Yeah. And see what rises up that inspires you or ideas. It's like the cork or the buoy. We're holding it underwater with our logic. We're holding it underwater with our ego and what everybody else is telling us to do. While all along, there's this underground tension. There's this underground thing that's wanting to release out of you. But who's holding it back? You are. We are. Why are we holding it back?
Excuses.
Fear of man.
You know, a lot of it's excuses.
And I hear it all the time. Well, I don't trust myself. Why don't you trust yourself? And a lot of times we don't trust ourselves because we haven't given ourselves a chance long enough to learn and grow and build that confidence of walking out life on the journey to where you become really tuned into your intuition. And you now know through contrast and experience, okay, this is what it feels like when I don't follow my heart. This is what it feels like when I do follow my heart. This is what it feels like when I don't follow the inner voice. This is what it does feel like when I follow the inner voice. And it's giving yourself chance to learn and practice that. And before you know it, you'll be so tuned in and confident that you won't argue anymore with your spirit, with your ego. So, like, we heard this amazing story a little bit ago of this one woman that she's so clued into her intuition and hearing the voice of God, right? And so she was in Paris. She lives in Paris. And all of a sudden, she just got this strong prompt and inner voice, you need to pack up and go to England, like, right now. And so she learned, don't listen to the head because it'll ping pong you right out of the path you need to be on. So she did. She just grabbed her suitcase, took the things that she needed, packed up, went to England. And sure enough, an hour later, they had closed the borders.
Because of COVID.
And she was safely over where her family was. And she would have been for months
on lockdown
in Paris, and now she was in the comfort of her family in England, and they're a little bit more free with their, you know, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, again, right?
Yeah.
Logic could have easily talked her out. Why would I leave my home? And I don't feel like packing my suitcase. And
yeah, and this is so good. This is a great analogy. What are we taught in large portions of the church is to not trust our feelings. Don't ever go by feelings, they say.
Right.
Or in a lot of religions. So you have to go by the word, the scripture, chapter and verse. Don't trust your feelings. Well, the reason why people say that is because, yes, if you have a wounded egoic structure, which most people have woundings, right? If it's wounded, then that person's going to be thrown like the ping pong all over the place going, okay, I don't know what to do. I'm so confused. And so I can see why people say that to a degree. But if you're healed up to a degree and then you know those inner prompts brought through the feeling structure and emotions
of your spirit.
Of your spirit. Because God gave us emotions. These aren't from the devil.
They're
guiding.
Yeah.
And so when we're feeling our way through spiritually and emotionally, and you're listening for those prompts, then they become louder and louder. Then you're like, okay, well, that was the relationship that's leading me, not my crazy, wounded, emotional structure.
That was the current. That was the current of the river leading
That was
you.
The current taking me where the next place is of safety or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's a whole nother message on how to be led. But the whole point is, I think what we're sharing from our hearts here is on authenticity, and that's all part of it. But authenticity, see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, a lot of what they left is that authentic flow of who we really are at home within ourselves. See, you're really at home when you're authentic. You ever notice that? When you're being authentically you, you feel at home.
There's
you feel
a grace.
Rest and
There's
peace.
A grace there.
Yeah, and you can be yourself. Being yourself, when somebody says, I can be myself, what they're saying is, I can relax with no judgment. See, when we're ourselves, being ourselves, and we're not feeling that judgment towards our own self or others towards us, and we don't take it in, it is the most freeing feeling in the world, because now you're living right in the center of unconditional love within your, that's the center of your being. It's the core, it's home.
Unconditional, and there's no limits anymore. You're not putting limits on yourself of how something should be. Just try this today or whatever, in whatever you know is deep within you that you enjoy doing and creating or whatever it is. Take the limits off yourself of no judgments or trying to do it the way anybody else does, and just let that cork rise to the surface and just follow the flow of your authentic journey, because God's current is in you, is taking you. You just got to paddles up. Take the paddles up of what everybody else is saying. Lift those things up and surrender them.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Feel the flow within you.
It's so good. It's so good because, you know, I think Amy and I talked about putting a whole series together, and I think this will be a part of it because it's so juicy, so good.
Mm-hmm.
It just to us, you know, and again, it's like, it's wonderful if you get something out of it, but we're having an awesome time just talking about this ourselves.
Right.
But one of the things that I was just thinking of when she was sharing is Picasso. Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody thought, okay, this guy's a nut job, you know, and they thought he was literally crazy. And I think he had some, but what I think it is genius qualities. What happens with geniuses is they're often labeled as nut jobs or crazy, or, and then they wind up believing it because of the conditioning. And then you have the Robin Williams of life that just don't know what to do, and they just take themselves out, right? And geniuses are often labeled as ADHD, or they're labeled
awkward,
as crazy, because they have this capacity within them that is so, it's a brilliant light in the earth. We all are, but there's some people that are just like, okay, you know, the Steve Jobs and all that are here to do a specific thing, maybe not just one thing, but you know what I'm saying? It's an expression. It's an expression
it's
of love.
It's their stream.
It's their stream, and they're oftentimes labeled. So when we look at a Picasso painting, what do some people do? They look at that and they go, I can do that. This guy he's dead and gone, and yet these things are worth millions. Well, I could do that. Why do we say that? Why do we say, well, I can do that? Well, if you can do that, why aren't you doing it in your own authentic way? What we're trained to do is look at everybody else's stuff, get jealous because we're not expressing our own unique thing, and then we look and we point and we judge the person and we say, oh my gosh, can you believe this? Or man, I could do that. I could do a pet rock and make $1 million over a pet rock. No, maybe you could, but guess what you're doing? You're copycatting somebody else, and you were never designed to do that. We were designed to be our own authentic expression.
Who wants to be generic?
Yeah, and whatever comes out of you is the million-dollar thing. And if it's not, who cares?
Right. Again, stop looking for it and be the change. Stop looking for it and be the change.
Yeah,
be
and
that
this
authentic piece.
And this used to really bother me when I was judging things. And so it's so awesome to be have the light shined on your own judgments. But anyway, that's another message too. I used to look at people in the healthcare industry because, again, we've been doing a lot of contract work in that arena. Well, I used to hear people, caregivers, all the time say, well, I'm going to be a nurse. I'm here because I'm studying to be a nurse. I said, oh, really? Okay. Well, how long have you been dreaming about that? And then I'd ask them open-ended questions like, well, do you think about it all the time? Do you think about creativity around that nurse role? Is it something that you've always shared or that you've always have a real strong pull towards? No, I'm just doing it because it makes good money.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. And then a week later, the caregiver quits. And then I find out why she quits or he quits. It was because they didn't like wiping somebody and taking care of them after they toileted or showering somebody. They're like, oh, ew, how could anybody do that? Oh, I thought you wanted to be a nurse. Oh, you did it for the $30 an hour, huh? You were doing it for the $30 an hour. You thought it made so much money. Then you were so drawn towards it. Oh, okay. Why did you do that? Because everybody else is doing it. They're going to be a nurse. Oh, but you didn't realize you had
money
to change somebody's catheter bag.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No, it's always good to get in and experience it and just kind of shadow somebody for a while.
And that's fine.
And
yeah, to try something.
That'll guide you. That'll guide you to know if it's a yay or nay. And
if you don't know, yeah, it's at least better than sitting there being depressed and drinking yourself to death or something. It's good to try things, but what's a higher way of looking at it is saying, okay, what do I like to do? What do I enjoy doing?
Yeah.
What do I really enjoy doing? You know, instead of saying, well, what's your passion? Well, sometimes that's too hard for people. Why don't you start with what you like doing? Do you like going out?
What gets you excited?
Yeah, what gets you excited? Feeding the squirrels? Do you like feeding squirrels?
Yeah.
Oh, I love feeding the squirrels. I love feeding the birds. I just absolutely love. Ooh, good place to start. Maybe you're called to be a vet. Or maybe you're called to work with animals. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I think the biggest thing for all of us is we're afraid of the unknown or failing at something. And so we never step out to try something. So we're always just in this, it's like never getting in the pool, right? Learning about the pool, but never getting in and actually putting action to learning all the techniques of how, you know, to swim. And so, and that'll guide you, right? And you really don't know until you actually step out and experience something. Like say you want to be a chef. And so go work in the industry for a little bit and see if that's for you. I know that's common sense, but a lot of times we don't step out and actually experience it to guide us to the next better thing, to kind of hone that in and say, okay, that's not it, but I did like this about it. So maybe I'm going to head in that direction, right? It's just life is like the bowling alley in a lot of ways. You've got these bumpers, and those bumpers are there when you're first learning how to bowl. Before you get the strike, they're there to kind of guide you, right?
Yeah.
But until you get out into that lane and stream and allow yourself to feel those bumpers, you're going to be sitting on the sideline the rest of your life. So
just paddles up, jump into the river.
Yeah.
Jump in. That's your only job. Jump into the river and let it take you where the current wants.
Yeah. Be willing. Be willing to flow and stop being anchored to your old story. This is time where we all take the rope off the dock that's been holding us there in the shallows and trust and have fun. Allow yourself to be like a little kid and let God's loving, nurturing current start taking you into your next place of growth.
Yeah. And not everyone, when they're jumping to the river, and not everyone's going to be drawn towards the different stop points the same way. And, you know, if two guys and two girls are floating down the river, and the girls, I'm not trying to stereotype at all, because some guys love flowers too, okay? But I'm just using this as an analogy. And they see the beautiful camp spot that we talked about earlier with all of the flowers and all of the colors and all of the bird feeders and all that. The guy or the girl may say, wow, look at that. Let's stop over there. Well, then the other guy and the girl are like, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm going to the next one. Go ahead, you guys. Catch up with us down river. And then here comes the hunting spot. And they happen to love hunting or whatever. And they're drawn over there. They're like, oh, let's stop there. That draws to us. That calls to us. In other words, what we're saying is authenticity pays the bills.
Yes. And just relax and release those who aren't ripe and ready to come to your site. So God knows how to attract and draw the right ones. Isn't that freeing? So freeing. So you don't have to reach and try to manipulate and try to find out what the next great, you know, agenda or strategy is. That's all ego, you guys. It really, really is, because we're not trusting. We haven't tapped into the quantum leaping, the quantum field that attracts things to you. It is all energy.
Then we're coming right into it. I'm telling you, the consciousness has come to the point now where this is happening more and more.
Yes.
And that's awesome. All right. Well, yep. We'll drop it right there. Dropping in.
Paddles up. Just think of a slide. You put your hands up and you slide right down into the heart. And you have fun doing it. So enjoy your day. Have fun just being led. Practicing being led by the inspirations within you. Letting go of all judgments and expectations. And let the current of His goodness flow. Take care.